Blog Talk Radio.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and a carrying sign. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey there, this is Here Be Monsters, our regular Sunday show, and today's guest in a few moments down the pike here is going to be David Williams, author, Krell, over at Roundtree7.com. He posted quite a piece this week on Libya, and we're going to talk about it and its conclusions. And as we generally do, all week long, every dang day, we're on air here as a boycott to the MSM and in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, no matter what a commenter says over at the blog. Thanks, Jack, for being very polite with me as I was hurrying to scramble to get ready for this show. Jack Jodell is with us from Minneapolis, the Saturday Afternoon Post blog. You with me, Jack?
I sure am. Hi, everybody.
So this is an official boycott of the MSM media.
And they deserve to be boycotted.
They sure do. And this is also every day we are on, and the hosts to this show are the writers at Roundtree7, and that's the number 7.com. First off, up the bat today, I would like to post a little news about my own home group here, Occupy Lake Worth or West Palm Beach, which is sort of commingled together, have begun to actually occupy the downtown area of West Palm Beach at the end of Clematis behind the fountain in the grass. Between that fountain and the Intercoastal Waterway, for the local folks who do listen to this show, usually an archive, but I'd like you to know we're already out there now, and the live stream, which is livestream.com/Lake Worth, is up and going. And in this, I would love for everybody to please, no matter where you are in the world who is listening to this show, to please give a call to the West Palm Beach Police Department, who are very nice folks, but it's become a political football within a period of 24 hours, as usual.
Mm.
And we need you to call in to area code 561-316-7473, and I'll give you that number again prior to getting off the air. And then there's Mayor Jerry Munio. You can call her, too. That's 561-822-1400. How's your week going, Jack?
Not bad. Pretty good, by golly. It's great to see the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy everybody, Occupy Together movement still continuing strong and still growing. It's very encouraging. And I think we're going to enact some change here pretty soon.
Well, the whole, you know, and that was part of my thorn in the side commentary over at Roundtree 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of anarchists and very, very, very extreme left people are very adamant that this becomes something that's locked down into an eventual confrontation and not the kind of a action that will become eventually something that goes into creating new and better laws in the existing world.
Right.
I think they'd like to see the world come down, which there's something actually to be said for either side, but I do think the folks that Occupy Wall Street right now are there.
Mm-hmm.
They are using their bodies as the currency for
right.
Creating a movement.
Mm-hmm.
They've made a declaration. That declaration says why they are there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a group called the 99ers who have been a working law student and lawyer group that began with the Occupy Wall Street group that went down to Philadelphia indoors to begin to draw up a major plan of action that they are
mm-hmm.
asking people to contribute to. That's
okay.
the also behind this convention that's being talked about, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little thing. I printed up what they're working on, and I think all positive motion forward is good. But as always, first, last, and always, we are in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Occupy everywhere. It's,
yeah.
it's a movement that is long overdue. And the more steam it gathers, the better. Now, regarding the people that want to advocate violent confrontation or confrontation of any kind, there's a time and place for everything, and I don't think this movement is the place for a violent confrontation. I don't think that would serve its best interests, and I don't think that would effectively enact change. Now, there are people out there, idealists, I think mostly, that think, oh, boy, we could just tear down everything right now and do it upright. I think that's a little naive and a little unrealistic, and I don't want to be too critical of these people because I know where their hearts are, and I sympathize with them, but I just don't agree that that is the correct tack to take, and I think it would end up working against the movement as a whole if things became too out of control. So I think what they're doing right now is perfect. It's just nonviolent. It's peaceful. It's identifying areas that need change, and it's still gathering steam. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't think we need to fix it at this point. The time for making demands and enacting political change, that'll come down the line. This is a movement still in its infancy. So
well,
I think that's an important point.
That kind of action is also the segue for any co-opting that'll go in the political realm. And I'm against that myself, any kind
mm-hmm.
of political co-opting. This is, as they say, a movement. The movement has its aims and goals, and I think that
mm-hmm.
the folks down at Fucati Park have been very clear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why everybody, it's like to fall into the mainstream media bullshit messaging on it to ask questions about what their goals are. I think it's
right.
rather clear.
Yeah.
Dr. Woody actually put a wonderful, that I read this week, a wonderful piece up about exactly why they're down there. So we don't have to beat this friggin' dead horse anymore.
No.
And I'll move along.
Yeah.
I do want to mention a couple of things here. Krell has posted onto the Journey with Roundtree 7 room in on Facebook. A wonderful live stream that you can access now that allows you to actually go, hi, Pinko, go to all of the different, it's got all the live streams of all the Occupies. They're getting up there all together on one page, and you can see the chats. It's absolutely wonderful. And so the link for that is livestream.com, and if you go over Livestream, .com, it shows you the link for the Occupies.
I'm on the phone.
Real quickly. Also, here, a couple of things that I'd like to mention because my folks down here in the Gulf are pushing the tears around again. Louisiana, Bobby Jindal signed a law into effect that went into effect this weekend that bans using cash for secondhand goods. In other words, the flea markets and garage sales that you see, if anyone is caught using cash as a currency instead of a debit or credit card, you can be arrested.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, yeah.
How utterly ridiculous. I have never in my life. Now, these Republicans love to talk about overregulation and the government invading personal lives. What is that a perfect example of?
Well, it's a perfect example of how the motherfuckers lie a lot. Now, you have
yes.
Damn,
it's unbelievable.
That.
What next?
Yeah, this is terrible. This is it's use a credit card or a debit card, and these people who are barely surviving.
Right.
These of impromptu marketplaces that they create in order to survive, to buy clothes, to even buy produce or to buy goods that, you know, this is horrifying to have.
He ought to be impeached for that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of the little.
Yeah. Good luck on trying to get that passed.
Right. Exactly. Hi, David.
Hey. Hello.
Good to hear from you, buddy. Solidarity.
Awkward pause.
I thought we might have lost you. Oh, also, I wanted to mention, because he deserves our kudos, I think, Dr. Brother Cornell West has again been, yet again, been arrested for attending an Occupy, and this Occupy was in Harlem day before yesterday. He was arrested for standing up for Occupy and their right to be there and to extend or use their First Amendment rights. Also, really, really wonderful thing happened, and I wanted to bounce this off of Jack, you being the musician. Did you know that Pete Seeger and Arlo Guthrie showed up Friday at Occupy Wall Street?
No, that is great. I'm glad. Well, they should be there, man. They were the kind of the fathers of the protest movement in Vietnam. Just fabulous.
Oh, yeah. They had the whole joint singing This Little Light of Mine.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Isn't that incredible?
That's
now,
fabulous.
I know our E. Nolan was down there banging a drum either, yesterday, I believe.
Great.
She's down there quite a bit. I don't know what her comeback will be on that, but, I mean, that's pretty incredible. The
really?
Long white Arlo and Pete Seeger. He's 92.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you know what's really incredible? Arlo Guthrie is an avowed Republican. Albeit a moderate one. But isn't that something?
It is. So, anyways, today's guest is
David Williams.
Williams, the writer, Krell, over at Roundtree 7. And I asked him to come on and discuss the piece that you wrote, the actions in Libya, and humanitarian or strategic. David, can we open that discussion up? It was a wonderful piece.
Well, what the story was about was I tried to connect where there were some State Department memos that were leaked by WikiLeaks that was discussing the, they call it resource naturalization, that Gaddafi was going through. He was supposedly, his thoughts were to try to nationalize the contracts, oil contracts for that Libya had for the oil companies. And so the State Department had expressed some concern about that. And then, you know, I was trying to see if there was a linkage between that and suddenly, you know, Gaddafi, even though 3 years ago he had been given normalized relationships and they had reestablished diplomatic relationships and he had renounced terrorism, suddenly he became a terrorist again.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, well, you know, okay, is it it's just because they wanted to give some humanitarian aid for the rebellion, trying to, you know, put down the, I guess Obama's words were, the needless slaughter. But then, it, you know, it just sort of went from that and tied into, well, how can you go from that to assassin or, you know, allowing the assassination of Gaddafi as a leader?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you, whether you like him or not, he was the leader of a country.
Right.
And as he was trying to escape, a drone attack shut off his escape route,
mm-hmm.
and which allowed the rebels to capture him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the rest of us have seen all the video and stuff on the television, but
right. And they even have his body hanging in a mall, in a freezer, in a mall, a shopping mall in Libya for everybody to come by and see.
Yeah,
there's
a big line
death.
Of people go by and view that.
Yeah, unbelievable.
You know,
that's
it is unbelievable. I mean, it's you know, again, it, you know, he was a desperate tyrant, but
yes, right.
You know, he's not the only one in the world. I mean, there's
no.
there's some.
Let's
in
look
same
at let's look at the North Korean dictator. We never pick on him. Of course, he doesn't have any oil. He doesn't have any oil. That's why. But you know,
well, another thing that a lot of people are not familiar with is Libya. It's been called the eighth wonder of the world. They have a $25 billion water project that's just been finished.
Right.
And
right.
It's the world's largest aquifer. And aqueduct project, $25 billion.
Wow.
And it supplies an enormous amount of water, and it's been going on since the project was started in 1983, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But just got finished, and it's probably actually more worth more than what the oil is over there.
Well, you know what's nice about that? The only good thing, I guess, one of the few good things about the Gaddafi regime is that he had the foresight and the wisdom to invest in a project like that for his country, which could end up aiding farmers and everybody else in that whole upper Africa area.
Oh, yes, exactly. I mean, it's the value of that project cannot be underestimated. It's
right.
a tremendous project.
It is
well,
tremendous.
He did want to bring in the oasis of agriculture to the country. There's no doubt about that, but I do think that the larger part of that plan probably had something to do with him being smart enough to realize that that was the new currency instead of oil. It's going to be.
Oh,
the
water
currency.
Is. Water is going to be the new
right.
Currency, not just in that area, but all around the world.
Right.
As,
oh, yeah.
Fresh, drinkable water becomes
right.
scarcer and scarcer. You know, you would think with, you know, roughly three-quarters of the earth being water that it would never be a scarcity, but it's going to become such.
It will
water
be.
Rise.
It's already scarce in the American West, and down in certain parts of South America, there's all kinds of water rationing going on just because they don't have the desalinization plants, the technology or the know-how to do it, and they... you know, just physically short of water, clean water.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, the water in Libya, it's not from a desalination. It was actually coming from the ground. They called it
right.
fossilized yeah. water. They discovered this huge aqueduct.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
It is. It is amazing.
That's very good to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, what was begun by
brothers.
Him
here we have the
back
Koch
in 83 is,
rivers.
Is
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, back to Libya. He developed this this you know quite visionary plan, and it's certainly going to reap benefit for not only Libya but the entire northern Africa region.
Yeah, I guess the conclusion that I had come up with at the end of the post was that it was opportunity by circumstance. You know,
mm-hmm.
there was the opportunity because of the circumstances of this need for humanitarian aid that we were able to go in there and but in reality, it's even though both of us are looking at the same goal, you know, the rebels and the United States, we're not really looking for the same thing. That and I mentioned again that if the rebels were somehow thinking about nationalizing the oil, they would rapidly become at the end of the stick instead of being aided by us. So
right, exactly. Yeah,
yeah
they'd be on our hands right away.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't consider the Libyan overthrow of Gaddafi as really as a success that Obama can use to find for votes, and it's really disturbing that. You know, I mean, how many people have been assassinated as opposed to actually letting them come to the court of law and express
exactly.
their...
Exactly. That is my biggest beef with this whole new foreign policy that we've launched upon. It's really criminal when you look at it. I mean, you can't kill American citizens without a trial, you know, and that's exactly what we're doing, basically. You know, I don't care if they're terrorists. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're ex-communists. I don't care what they are. It's
yeah,
just not the way we do.
Another example I bring up was Manuel Noriega. You know, when we went and got him, and he's sitting in the prison with this new policy that we seem to have, would he even be able to make it to United States territory? I think
no. Would have killed him. They would have killed him over in Panama.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, they were really worried about him sort of spilling the beans on some of the CIA secrets, which you know he was our CIA guy there for a while.
That's
but,
right.
You know, now with this new policy, I don't think he would have made the light of day over here in the court.
Well, one thing is for certain in all of this, and that is that you never know what the CIA is doing because it's always something furtive and it's always something hidden and it's always something that's downright revolting in many ways. Even though it may, in some cases, some of their actions may result in a type of good activity, but... By and large, they're a terrible organization.
American intelligence at this point is really almost null and void because our self-described principles and actions abroad are nothing but lies, and they keep getting revealed as lies.
Right.
We're out there for the petrodollars, like the rest of the greedy bastards on the block.
Yeah.
Another thing to consider is the CIA is almost becoming marginalized. There is a lot more sort of beyond secret than the CIA that are doing some of the dirty work now, you know.
Yeah, and let's look at the rise of mercenary groups like Black, you know, Z,
exactly.
whatever they call
yeah,
it. Privatized. All these guys, I mean, this is beyond governmental control. This is a very, very dangerous development.
There's
and I think
one
it,
other
it needs
thing.
To be stopped.
There's one other thing that isn't being discussed here, too. And that's the fact that our president actually went on air and said, well, we're going to bring the troops home from Iraq. And,
yeah.
I mean, there's even newscasters out there, and Keith Olbermann is not the only one, that the actual truth of the matter is Iraq has told us to get the hell out of town now.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
They wouldn't
exactly.
give them immunity
yeah.
for the soldiers.
Right.
And Panetta was negotiating up until the 17th of October, but
yeah.
they said, no, we are not going to give immunity to the soldiers.
Well, there's,
so,
there's your official government spin. And,
yep, that's right.
Not too bad that Obama succumbed to it, but he certainly has. And everything's for saving face and for outright bullshit, and that's a real shame.
It's but also this week, again, at the end of the week, we had Naomi Wolf on on Oberman. She was arrested.
She was arrested, yeah.
And taken down in New York, and her story is a little bit scary. They're doing exactly whatever the hell they want in New York as far as arresting people with the protest movement.
Well, it's police state.
Homeland Security's got both feet on the ground on this.
Yeah, it's
they're bringing in Homeland Security into it too.
Yeah.
Did you see where she said that they shut down the whole street and said it was a Homeland Security matter when they were going to have the lawyers meet them at the precinct?
Yeah, Homeland Security,
only
that's another group that is too big for its britches and is shadowy. I don't like the shadowy aspects of it at all.
David, what did she say about what she did?
Well, what happened was they had lawyers that were going to meet them at the 7th Precinct, you know, Naomi Campbell and her person she was with. And they were going to meet them at the 7th Precinct to bail them out, you know, because she was protesting about using the sidewalk.
Oh,
well, what happened was they had intercepted the information, and then instead of going and taking them to the 7th Precinct where they normally would, they took them to the 15th Precinct.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in effect, their lawyers didn't know where they were, and also the Homeland Security shut down that, I forget what street it was, Eric Street. Anyway, they shut down that street saying it was a Homeland Security matter. They would let people go
even
through
been involved
if it was
in
a
the
business.
First place. What in the world was the Homeland Security people being there in the first place for? That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Good point. What were they being involved in the first place?
They were sticking their nose where it didn't belong, and they ought to have that nose chopped off. That's ridiculous.
The more
it's
going to
happen a lot more.
It sure will.
The
more important part about that is what Homeland Security is doing there is that the administration must feel, because they are the ones who direct or overall direct the organizations, must feel that there's a need, like they felt in the counterculture movement of the 60s, to plant people into the crowd to be the agent provocateurs, to find out what's going on, and to try to break groups down.
It's classic.
Oh, yeah,
we've seen it before.
Pro.
Yep,
yeah.
We've seen it before. And unfortunately, we're experiencing it again.
Live.
Yeah.
But the thing about it now is that it goes beyond, because they have such an advanced capability of monitoring communications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have basically allowed them to intercept any cell phone, track where the cell phone locations are at, and
exactly.
also intercept any internet connections if they want.
Yeah, you know, we've lost a ton of freedom as a result of that ridiculous Patriot Act and all those various and sundry accessory acts. They're just a violation of the Constitution. Let's be frank about it.
Well, and they keep making it bigger. I wanted to say, well, we have a second here. Brian, your mic is hot. You're live.
Yeah, hi, Brian. I heard you in the background there.
Hey, Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez, I didn't know that. And here I'm, like, chewing on food. I apologize.
Well, we didn't hear that. I heard a little something in the background. That's how I knew it was you.
Oh, you didn't hear that. I was not eating then.
Okay.
But it's obvious why Gaddafi... didn't Gaddafi have a mustache? Villains always have a... No, it's... I mean, obviously, it was a war over natural resources. BP lobbied to get the Lockerbie bomber released, if you go back ways ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to halt any type of drilling while the uprising was occurring and the Civil War began.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw the oil contractors just come out like a bunch of dogs when Gaddafi's regime fell. So, you know, if it wasn't for the oil, we wouldn't have had any involvement, and there's similar humanitarian crisis occurring in Syria.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Some of them were even encouraging Bahrain. We have a very valuable naval base there, so we'd love to see that uprising crushed. We can't go in there directly, so our friends Saudi Arabia have rolled tanks over those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing that I want to bring up that's really, I feel is really important, is that there's a lawsuit against Royal Dutch Shell right now, and it's going to be reviewed by the Supreme Court. And what they're going to review is a law that was passed in 1789 called the Alien Tort Act or statute. Now, what that does is it allows foreign citizens to file lawsuits against corporations here in the United States if they feel that they've been done wrong. Anyway, the Supreme Court, I feel, is going to overrule that. And what that means is
they are. They can't wait to get their hands on it. I'm sure of that.
What that means is that companies like Z and other companies like that, they will not be responsible for their employees. So if their employees rape, pillage, and plunder, whoever the victims are cannot come back and sue Z.
Yeah, that's why we have
it allows corporations to commit genocide. Yeah, there was
that's
an excellent segment about it on Tom Hartman. It's a Nigeria is suing Royal Dutch Shell.
Royal Dutch Shell, yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel they're going to overturn it, and it's going to be a disaster.
Royal Dutch Shell actually
not going to allow anybody to seek recourse.
Yep, I mean, Royal Dutch Shell actually participated in capturing and torturing Nigerian protesters against the oil drilling projects. Here's a corporation that committed horrible acts against humanity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I believe the final decision is not going to be known until June.
Well,
so
the corporate Supreme Court is siding against the people no matter how you look. And they don't want the people having any rights when it comes to interfering with corporate activity. And that is a crime.
It is a crime, and what it's going to do is along with all the privatizing of our military actions, it's going to allow them to basically have carte blanche to do whatever they want to. That's right.
Yeah.
And they won't be held responsible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very scary world we're in, isn't it?
Oh, it's
very
just ridiculous. To see the Supreme Court become so proactive business as they are, I've never imagined that it could ever get this bad. It's terrible.
And we've seen a debasement of our culture, too.
Oh, yeah.
I blame the media in part, Fox News and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and look over what's been occurring, the people cheering wildly in the streets over the death of Osama bin Laden, the people praising the death of uninsured in the GOP debate and so forth.
Yeah,
it's like there's a
bloodthirsty element. And applauding the 234 people put to death in Texas. What kind of crap is that?
Yeah.
That's
a
real
debasement of our culture,
isn't it? Yeah,
I mean, the GOP party is basically encouraging and playing into that aspect of their base that has bloodlust.
Yeah.
You know, it's like here's some more red meat and joy. You know, it's a great distraction, and it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it's very scary.
You know, it's throwing us back to Roman era.
Right.
Actually. During the fall of the Roman Empire, that's when you wanted the crowd distracted with bloodlust, and perhaps something similar is going on here.
Yeah.
Well, they would feed Christians to the lions, but you know what? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I thought, and I heard that absolutely ridiculous story by Eric Holder, by the Judicial Department about assassination plot by a drug cartel man for the Iranian government top office diplomat. I mean, that was not only the convoluted style of it, but it just doesn't, I'm not even, I think it's the CNN guys. What?
No, the Iranian a drunk used car salesman who's a complete loser in life, thrown out by his wife, always loses his cell phone, goes through a cell phone a week, always loses his keys. And this is a brilliant mastermind hired by Iran to approach the cartels to assassinate a Saudi ambassador on our soil. It makes no sense. It's the dumbest story I've ever heard.
Pretty convoluted.
And it was
very
convoluted.
Yep.
Ahmadinejad was interviewed by Fareed Kabari today, and he appropriately denied it and said, bizarre information.
Well,
I wouldn't trust it.
You wonder what's going through the heads of these guys that come up with these cock and bull stories and try to launch them the way they do. What's going on in that Iran?
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make Iran into a monster so we can go.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're getting ready for some
neocons at work.
Do you realize that actually Iran sort of, the Ayatollah sort of took that bait and swallowed it down his gullet and went for sound? I mean, This guy said that he would like to reinstill the theocracy and get rid of Ahmadinejad jacket, you know? That was his response to it. So that was purely reactionary off over there. And if that's what's going on, when they have, I mean, I've got friends on Facebook who are from Iran, and they're really wonderful people who are just the same as I am with the same
They're caught in the middle.
It's
yeah, most of Iran is youth. I mean, there's like half the population is less than 30 years old.
And most of them,
you know, they're computer savvy.
Admire liberal democracy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, and now we have, you know, everybody, I don't care if you pray or what you do, everybody has some kind of goodness they carry in their heart, and I wish that everybody listened to this one. Whatever goodness you do carry in your heart, send to Egypt, because Egypt is, again, fighting the new regime, which is the military, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the military's been in control for decades.
Right, well...
Even with their dictators.
Their figurehead's been removed.
Pretty much it.
Their figurehead's been removed, but it's still still kind of the same old crap. And the net result is that people still don't have jobs. Young people still don't have a hope for the future.
Oh, no, and the net result is that nothing has changed.
Exactly.
And the United States government is supporting this kind of act.
Typical. Yeah, they want law and order. They don't care what price they get it. That's what they
stability,
want.
Stability, I guess, is what they
stability. Cool. That's right. Yep.
Stability in the region. Well, look at Bahrain. We have a big a military base there, and we actually put down the Arab Spring Rebellion there. I mean, we sent over advisors and information. We were active in putting down that rebellion.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between us supporting Egypt's rebellion at first and then not supporting Bahrain? I mean, it's like a selective democracy.
We didn't really support. We didn't support Egypt's rebellion. We it was quite the opposite.
We had a hand
up. We were supportive
of
Mubarak all the way up until the last minute.
Right.
And then it flipped when they were going to actually kick him out.
Then we wanted to be on the winning side.
We waited for the last minute.
Hillary, of course, gives her. You know, we're in support of democracy and freedom of expression and you know, her speech
but
right
you know
when
what?
It looks
we
like
really
Mubarak
aren't,
is
are
gone.
We do everything we can
to undermine democracy.
Exactly.
We've done everything we could to undermine and screw up the elections of Iran because they, you know, out of concern that they'll elect a government that's more in line with Iran than us. I wonder why. Perhaps it's because we killed so many people there.
Yeah.
Well, we're for democracy whenever it is to our strategic interests. Strategic interests trump everything.
If it's just run wrong where democracy is
along with our strategic interests, then fine, we'll go with it. But it has
strategic
to be that.
Interests defined as profit.
Military basis.
Not there. It's about corporate profiteering, gentlemen. That's the bottom line on all of it.
And our
government is in lockstep and has been for ever since, you know, I guess ever since the military-industrial complex was getting its foothold and those boys out of the Chicago School of Money started doing it from everywhere from South America over into the Middle East. Naomi Klein's shock doctrine really is quite an illuminator.
It is. We
undermine democracy whenever we have the ability to do so. I mean, that's always been the case. Not just the Middle East. Haiti, for example, in its election last year, Fonmi Lavalas was the most popular party in the country, which was socialist, and we just would not let them even participate and get on the ballot.
And that's been the way it's been all throughout Latin America, throughout our history, and South America as well. Same old crap all over again.
Now, I wonder if we're going to start going to war in South America, too. It was just announced that FARC had ties to Muammar Gaddafi, oddly enough, and got supposedly a $100 million loan from Gaddafi a decade ago. And that ties wrecked, and FARC in Colombia, left-wing terrorist organizations, supposedly will get more desperate. And it was announced that, I guess yesterday or this morning, FARC killed 20 Colombian soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we've been steadily building up military bases in Colombia along the border of Venezuela.
Yeah.
The Hemen,
and that reminds me, wasn't there a big shipment of gold that was shipped from Libya to South America?
South America, yeah. Might have been.
I haven't heard about that.
I haven't heard about
it. Yeah,
that.
I mean, I
wouldn't be surprised.
I think it was Gaddafi that shipped it to
Chavez?
Yeah, Chavez. This was about a month and a half ago.
Okay, that went to Venezuela.
It was a huge shipment.
Okay. Oh,
I'll have to investigate that a little bit further, but
Chavez,
I wonder what happened to that.
Probably. Yep.
Yeah. Well, anyway, sorry, that was a tangent there.
Well, I've been amazed that we haven't tried to engineer something against Chavez. Now, early on in his reign, there was
been trying
to knock him off. But for quite a few years now, it's been pretty quiet.
But you know,
we've been trying to get rid of him for a long time.
Well, we sure have in our press, that's for sure. They
defected.
They
had a coup. We instigated a coup about 5 years ago.
Oh. Yeah, but that fizzled, and he's bolstered himself.
Yeah, well, I mean, we still play a role. We played a role in was Central America, which was against the president of Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line on all of it is it's about profits. It's about profits.
Yes.
But, you know,
always
and
has
it,
been.
It all to bear back on what we discussed at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour, and that's Occupy Wall Street and the 99%. And something that folks keep missing, especially within, not so much anymore, some of the MSM. I've noticed that Chris Hayes has actually begun to use it, and so has Keith Olbermann. This is a global movement. This is not an American movement.
Yeah.
It is a global movement. But if you talk to people in other countries, and this is what it really makes me feel great, and I would think all of us do about it, is the fact that the people in other countries, especially the folks who were arrested down in Australia in the last 48 hours, have been saying, you know, Occupy Wall Street. This is Occupy Wall Street. They're claiming their brotherhood, their sisterhood to Occupy Wall Street as they're being carried off by brutes like the white shirts in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the conservative forces of the world are taken aback by all of this, and they're going to react reactionarily like they have been here in New York, and we can expect more of this rather than less. But eventually, because this really is the wave of the future, they are going to fail and fail miserably. And I can't wait for that day.
Well, I hear you on that. I definitely hear you on that. 212 area code, you're live. Welcome, caller.
Hi, it's Tricia.
Hi, Tricia.
Hey, Trish.
Hi, I was when you were talking, Gwen, about it being a worldwide movement, I was reminded of something I saw on Amy Goodman this weekend or the other day. Anyway, I'm trying to remember the young woman's name, but she is from Yemen and is a Nobel Peace Prize laureate. And so I'm trying to, like, get her name up here on the Internet and talk at the same time. But what she was doing is she had come to the United Nations because in Yemen they brokered a deal where the president who's been there, like, for 25 years, the local tyrant, was finally being ousted. The general resolution from the UN was to kick him out. But some Gulf Coast, I don't remember the name, it was a Gulf, or Gulf was in the word, the name of it, an organization of oil states, were going to give him immunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a home and an immunity. And so this woman was in New York to address the UN saying, like, that is unacceptable. The man needs to be accountable for his crimes, just like, you know, and it's to the international community's interest to
hold this man
accountable. You know, absolutely. But when she was talking, I was just thinking, well, she was calling for the American people to back them up. Yeah, Yemen, in their quest for democracy, as anybody who wants a democracy would do. And as I was listening to this, I was thinking, like, well, it would be nice if we had a democracy in the United States instead of a fascist corporatocracy.
Right.
And, you know, I was like, she was there talking, I was like, we are the 99%, baby. You know,
right.
She was... Mm-hmm. You know, anyway, she went on her way and was, you know, and it was, anyway, it was an inspiring talk. I wish I could remember her name, but she,
you know, I saw a little bit of that somewhere.
That was Tuwako Kuhlman. That was Tuwako Carman, a Nobel Peace
Prize.
That's
exactly who it is.
Yeah, there we go. That's right.
It's a T and a K. Her initials, yes, that's her.
Yeah.
And she was just inspiring and passionate. She was speaking in her native language with a translator. But as she spoke, it was like you could feel the human spirit soaring out of her mouth and around the area.
Yeah.
And that is the spirit that is coming out down at Ground Zero. I'm thinking of it as like Occupy Ground Zero now.
Yeah,
you know, because it's like right down there. And for when you consider all of this shit that's gone down in the Middle East, and all this shit because of the fucking World Trade Centers that's all come, and how we haven't been able to assemble peacefully, as is our First Amendment right, since 9/11, any fucking where, but certainly not in New York City.
Yeah, right.
And meanwhile, look at all this other bullshit that all comes back with the money. And so I just felt like real solidarity as she was speaking. And also was just, you know, excited about, you know, the strength of the spirit coming out of her mouth and so many other people's mouths these days. I think it's really...
Well, the 99% is finally starting to flex a little tiny bit of its little muscle, and that muscle is going to grow and grow and grow, and there's not a damn thing the reactionary forces can do about it. At least so far, they've been pretty powerless. And that's fine, because those little muscles have atrophied pretty badly over the last three decades, and I'm glad as hell to see that they're starting to flex them a little bit.
Well, there was an article also on Alternet this morning by David Graeber, who is currently some teaching fellow over in London somewhere. He's really smart and wrote this book about debt. 5,000 years of debt, I think it's called. And anyway, he was at the meeting down over the summer when Adbert Busters put out the original call for Occupy Wall Street on September 17th. And so he gives, on Alternet, he gives this whole report about just what went down, how it developed. And I think just speaking about the release of the human spirit that's been oppressed, you know, certainly in some areas, you know, a lot of people have been a lot more oppressed than I have, you know, so I don't want to be, like, you know, called out for the bitch that I, you know, this naughty bitch from the West Side that I am. But, you know,
I have to tell you, I never in my life, and I saw Kennedy buried, I saw, you know, the coming of the Great Society as a child. I mean, I saw us walk on the moon. All of us have seen this. I've never in my life seen such a rise of spirit in humanity on such a level. I mean, this is truly amazing. This isn't revolution. This is evolution.
Right.
It's worldwide.
And you can't stop evolution.
Yeah. No,
the movements down here are growing nicely. Occupy Fort Lauderdale, I participated in those the prior 2 weekends.
Great.
And this past Saturday, Occupy Miami. So somewhat different demographics. Occupy Miami is I would say, a lot of people in their early to late 20s.
Yeah.
Occupy Fort Lauderdale seems to be more people in the 30s, but it's... they're all.
I can't wait till these movements mature a bit and we start enacting and seeing some real, concrete, beneficial political change. And we're going to see that happen. It's just a matter of time.
But Jack, that's the one thing that, like, the writers over Graeber is one of them who said this is a horizontal movement,
and it's
so successful. Even Krugman has said it is so successful right now because people are not being political.
They are just bringing the counterculture, Gwen, it's going to affect a change culturally and politically. The counterculture did that, too. It started out as a completely non-political thing, and little by little it infiltrated everywhere, and it had its beneficial effect. And that's what I was stating. I can't wait to see that happen with this movement as well.
I hear you. I would never put any kind of boundaries on it. I want to see where it goes because
I
think
just want to keep going. That's right.
The way it's going organically is incredible. And
sure.
It's basically, I don't know, David, would you say that you had spoken about Tulsa being a little bit co-opted? Is it still seem like it's a Democrat wing, or is it more of a OWS aligned?
More of a Democratic wing. That's just from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to the last get-together they had, but that seems to be the way that it's shaking out. It's sort of a shame.
You know, the local groups, and there are plenty of Democrats and probably even Republicans, and I've said this before, and of course the OWS has aligned themselves with unions. There are a lot of people out there, just Jack has mentioned, there are places this is going to go. My own group here, Occupy Lake Worth, which has now become Occupy West Palm Beach, they're already occupying. They're out there. They've got the live stream going. We're doing a really great job down here.
Good.
And they are inviting.
Oh, wow.
They are inviting local politicians to come down and meet them and understand what we're doing there and what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's
that's
a difference
not exactly
between trying to understand the politicians and then raising funds for them.
Right,
so,
right.
You know.
Right,
right. You know, I think one of the strengths of the movement is that, and a lot of people see that as a weakness, but I actually see it as a strength, is that there's no, everyone's a leader, but no one's a leader. It's completely asymmetrical. And that's the thing.
More touched on
they
that
just don't know
night.
What to think of it, so there's nothing to attack. They
yeah,
just,
that's right.
They can't understand it.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know, it's a sad thing of the mainstream media is that They just can't get a hook on it, and I think that's, you know, they should keep that up as long as possible because once they start to congeal and form a committee or establishment.
Well, then they can be attacked and done
exactly,
away with, but
exactly.
That's not going to happen, right? Because this is
they're just completely confused. They don't know what to do about it. So the only thing they can try to do is bring out violence, you know, and that's where the white shirts come in. I think it's a coordinated campaign.
My biggest concern about the Occupy movement isn't violence. My biggest concern is can they withstand and hold out throughout the winter? And they're going to need everyone's help because they have to winterize.
Sure.
And I think there's a lot of people hoping that they won't last the winter.
Well,
so they have to be able to last through the winter. That's crucial.
What I can tell you is when I was there yesterday, I was talking to this girl. I don't know her name, but I met her first in the drum circle, which is my personal favorite part. But anyhow, she's always down there working, and when I was seeing her, she had on her little rubber gloves and was picking up soda cans and stuff, because it's really clean, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're very,
yeah.
And they've signed good neighbor policies with their neighbors and stuff,
mm-hmm.
But we were talking about the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so as it happens, what else I did today is I contacted the church where I work, which I guess it's cool to say I work at Riverside Church, which founded with the original progressives back at the crash in 29, Riverside Church was founded in order to be what they like to call themselves, a beacon for hope and peace on the hill. Mm-hmm. And it was founded with Rockefeller money because these grandkids felt guilty for all the robber baron stuff. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, Martin Luther King gave that speech in our pulpit about time to break the silence about Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a sign up as I'm coming into work every day, as you're going into the church, that says Riverside Church Mission for Social Justice supports Occupy Wall Street and a little something else. But I approached them today. I found the contact and approached them for if the kids are down there, and mostly they're kids, and it's going to be hard. I don't know if we could put them inside one night and they could sleep outside another, but people are going to have to step up.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to have to take care
of
the occupation.
Well, I think there's a natural alliance between really, truly Christian churches, just like there was during the Civil Rights Movement and the Occupy Movement. I think there will come to be a natural alliance between the two. Now, I'm not talking about the fundamentalist churches, which have already condemned this like
there
they condemn everything else.
Guys, I've got to tell you, my experience has been that I went over with the group I'm with right now, and basically because nowadays there are so many people who are Taoist, Buddhist. I'm what you would call probably a neo-pagan or a druid. A lot of different, when I see, 99%ers are for Jesus, it gets my hackles up. So
I think there's
unwritten, it's become an unwritten thing that no, it's non-denominational. And
I think that's true, but you're not going to say people can't be inside at night because the
organization. I'm agreeing with that, but there is that question that's going to have to be addressed.
Well, I think that goes for all groups. I mean, I think that there is a way for a church to fit in, but they should fit in like the unions are fitting in.
Right,
as a source of support.
Right, exactly.
And a supportive voice, but they've got their own gay churches.
Right, and I don't think they even want to attempt to take over and subvert that movement. They want to have their influence
and
whatever.
Well, you never know
what
a church will want to do. You never know about churches. I think that there are plenty of people on this planet that can talk about the dangers of the church. That's different from they're supposed to do is provide, an element of social change and things like that.
Well,
and
that's what they did during
the
Civil Rights Movement.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And that's what I think they're going to do again.
Well,
but they
you have to remember during the Civil Rights Movement, you had the leader of the Civil Rights Movement was a Baptist preacher.
And that's okay, but
his primary activity was devoted to the movement, not to preaching everywhere he went.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, it's certainly there's a role to be played. If the Christians were actually doing what Christians were supposed to do.
Yeah, right.
Which you can't make that kind of blanket statement because there are so many different kinds of denominational, and deviations of all this.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I can speak at length on this topic because I've dated for a short period of time a Lutheran minister.
Mm-hmm.
So, I understand, when I'm talking about things from my experience, I've got it, because I don't do my own reading, I get,
are three synods of Lutherans, too.
So they break it down, they're all jealous, and at the end of the day, there hasn't really been one among any that were worth a shit ever since Ronald Reagan came on board.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
I don't know if Reagan had anything to do with that, I'm just saying the church is a force for social change. It's been...
No, has there been any evidence of the church stepping forward now? I haven't seen that.
Not
well,
yet.
Well, I'm telling you,
I
think that they
that.
Should. When it comes to housing, when
well,
it comes
a,
to housing,
that was a big statement for the Riverside Church to make.
I agree they should,
church?
But I don't think they have. I mean, I'm a little bit more hopeful on Occupy Marines. The Marines are supporting the Occupy
well,
movement.
You know,
there was a, Marine that spoke out very loudly against the police in Occupy Wall Street.
Great.
That inspired, apparently, a bunch of other Marines. And so now Marines are being encouraged to participate in local Occupy nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if anybody knows how to stick it through a rough winter, I would think they would. They could pick
well,
their
I
brain.
Think that's
sure.
a great. That is a great
you know?
Idea.
No.
That's
yeah.
a great.
Some of those parks
idea.
Are already establishing rules: no kerosene lamps and so forth. They're going to make it hard for these people.
Oh, you bet they are.
Yeah.
Of course
yeah.
they are.
Yeah, they are. You
this,
bet.
This
yeah.
is the it's the time of technology, and technology will be. It can be used to help them make it through, but there
mm-hmm.
is no.
I hope so.
There is absolutely no denying that they are going to have a very rough time, and all of us who can send
yep.
what we can send, especially
right.
in the way of bedrolls, blankets,
right.
socks, and hunter
Thinsulite.
Socks.
Thinsulite. Anything.
Yeah.
Thinsulite,
anything.
Yeah.
And help them dig out the snow. Remember last winter, unbelievable snowstorms last winter.
Let's
well,
hope for a mild winter.
We're
going to
have to help them.
The snow can be troublesome in a number of cities, not just New York. I mean, good old, I think in Minnesota, you
oh,
know.
Yeah.
And
oh, we got bombarded
Louis,
last year.
Even, you know,
we got buried.
You know, it's the snow. I think it's, you know, I mean, certainly there are techniques in surviving that sort of stuff, and you can build your little igloos and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just really, they're worried already. In Zuccotti Park, you know, they have faith that people like us are thinking about it now.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
we have
so,
to think about it now.
That is,
you know.
I would like to bring up what's being said in the chat room because these guys are making a contribution here. Brian Smith has been noting that the left is in a global and the global consciousness and governments all over the world, they're winning seats and capitalists are running out of fingers to plug up those holes.
Right.
True.
So,
true.
So has information about Oakland. That's his local group, I believe. And he's saying there's no Democrat co-opting there. They'd be run out right away, I can imagine. It's Oakland. And the only union involvement there is longshoremen, and I would not want to screw with that crowd.
Now everybody knows not to mess with them.
Right.
Well, the Democrats can't co-opt it. They're too corrupted by corporate America.
Right.
Well, yeah.
They're,
I mean,
they're very
are
dependent
paid.
On Wall Street money, too. How can they? It's
yeah.
it's very hard
yep.
for them to say something because their corporate masters get mad
right.
at them.
Yeah.
Well, how many Democratic politicians actually stepped out and said anything really, really positive outside of Dennis Kucinich and a few others? I can't really.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's becoming clear that the time is ripe and long overdue for the emergence of a true, real progressive people's party that is not
yeah.
corrupted by Wall Street, that is not corrupted by influences of big business, and is not playing the easy way out all the time. We need this to emerge, and we need it fast.
Yeah. I mean, Progressive Democrats of America organization as a whole
right.
has taken the position to be very supportive of Occupy, but not
right.
to interfere.
Right.
Be supportive, promote it, let them know what's going on.
Good.
Try to let people know what's
Jack.
Going on about them. Not to
Jack,
attempt any type of co-op.
Jack, you suggest that it has to happen fast. And I would say to you, darling, on September 17th, a few people occupied Wall Street. And
right.
that was just a little over 30 days ago. Look where
mm-hmm.
we are.
Oh, I know. I'm amazed.
Well, y'all,
it's incredible.
I love that 4th of July
right.
idea.
That
I love the affiliate. I love
yeah,
the affiliate
it's
at the
great.
4th of July idea. I love
yeah.
that idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I mean, I don't know how it'll finally evolve, but I love the idea of doing that.
Right.
See,
right.
that's part of that 99% group that I was writing about over at Roundtree 7.
Uh-huh.
The,
yeah, do
so,
you have a link? I couldn't find the link. I was just doing a search for them, and there's so many different kinds of 99% things.
Oh,
if you
the
Googled
one
it.
I'm talking about, the one group that came out of New York, went down to Philadelphia to begin this process. The link is at the bottom. Of that,
it's
that
at the bottom.
Post.
Okay, at the post on Roundtree 7. Okay,
that's
okay.
correct. The 99 centers, And basically, there are a lot of folks that are trying to get together, Jack, and put together some kind of caucusing that will come out of this on the political side.
Right.
Frankly, I'm just personally, I know Brian is already part of a political caucus down here,
mm-hmm.
the Progressive Democrats.
Great.
I myself am not affiliated. The only mm-hmm. affiliation I have is with Occupy West Palm Beach.
Right.
That's
right.
My
right.
And politically, I guess.
Well, I think we should all look into our respective chapters of Progressive Democrats and see what can be done that way, because there sure as hell isn't any progressive action occurring on the other side.
There's an anarchist or two.
Yeah.
I love this idea that, like, grab people from as many congressional districts in America as you can, send them two by two, one male and one female, which I think is a bold and controversial requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Love
right.
it. Provocative.
Yeah.
And meet up in Philly on the 4th of July, like the first Constitutional Congress,
mm-hmm.
just in time for the Republican National Conference in August and the Democrats in September. And
right.
what I say is DNC 1968, baby. Woo! That's what
yeah.
I
say. I think
right on.
Personally,
well,
the Democrat Party is way too corrupt myself
yeah.
to be even held, you know, in a good esteem.
Yeah.
Nah, it's there's one party, they all suck, and let's go. That's what I say.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so the fish's boat is in. Fuck them all. Get them out. Let's go.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm excited. I'm jazzed. I like it down there. It's cool.
Yeah. Great.
That's
well, thanks for all your live reports, too, Trish.
Yeah,
okay,
well, Trish is our live reporter at Occupy Wall Street. I do
right.
thank you so very much. And she's also one of our hosts here for Saturday, right? Saturdays is the day.
Yeah, if I can talk. Yes, we're well for that idea. I am cool with
yeah.
that idea. So anyway,
great.
We'll figure out the time and figure out the details later. But, yeah,
okay.
I'm up for Saturday.
Yep.
There you go.
All right.
Listen,
you guys have a great evening. I'm going to hang up.
And, yes, I'll bid adieu to everybody, too. And solidarity, everyone. Let's keep it kicking.
Bye, Jack.
Absolutely.
Right.
I want
thanks,
to say,
everybody.
I want to thank Krell for coming on. And, Jack, thank you so much for being with me.
You
as
got
usual.
It, kid. You got it.
And I will see you next Sunday. And, Brian, thank you very much for coming on. Do you have any
yeah, Brian.
Thank you. What's that?
Do
yes.
you have any?
I have a Progressive Democrats of America meeting this Wednesday at 7:30. And our guest speaker is Andrew Kirshner, who's an activist with Occupy Fort Lauderdale. He is totally independent of all party affiliations, all of them, and he's very progressive. Actually, one of his key party issues, I mean, platforms, is ending factory farms, all things. But he's very
oh,
progressive
great.
About local
mm-hmm.
things. I forgot
well,
to send
well,
you something on that, Gwen.
Okay,
we'll
get it posted,
yeah.
and I will keep announcing it. We are on, said, every damn day. And Jack, thank you so much. That's Jack Jodell of the Saturday Afternoon Post, and he's with Occupy Minneapolis.
That's right.
Up in
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Occupy Minnesota, that's right.
Occupy Minnesota. I'm
that's
so
right.
sorry.
No problem. No problem. You meant the right. You meant right. Okay. Well, solidarity, everyone. Till next week.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Good night, Jack.
Good night.
I also want to thank our good friends in the drumline of radio shows that are also supportive of the Occupy movement, and that would include coming up right now on the Blog Talk Network. I want you to go on over to Progressive News Network. You can catch me there at the end of the hour again. And also Up Late with Pinko the Bear in Reno, Nevada. You can catch him at, it's midnight Pacific time, so I think it's 3 a.m. my time. But I'll tell you, it's worth staying up. Pinko is great. He always illuminates. He's always teaching me something new. and also the Diane G of the Wild Wild Left here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, we are part of a drumline effect. We are the boycott to the major major news networks every damn day. Here Be Monsters is on, sponsored by Roundtree 7. I want to thank everybody in our chat room today, especially Mike Q. It's good to see him. From Mike Q from Random Thoughts blog over at Blogspot, and Trisha Poole or P.E. Nolan for stopping in and talking with us. And Osori, also thank you for being here with Crow. And everyone, thank you, Brian, for showing up again, and our guests. And that would be Brian Smith I'm thanking. I also want to thank Brian Stetton, one of my neighbors here in South Florida with the Progressive Democrats. This has been Here Be Monsters. I am going to play something very quick to get us out of here because I'm a little late for the next show. Please, folks, go on over and catch Progressive News Network here on Blog Talk Radio. They are also part of it. I'm going to leave you with a few words of wisdom from Cherie Foytlin, our good friend from Louisiana and the activist mom who is fighting her way towards some decency and justice and humanity for the environment.
One thing that I think is important is democracy. What's the number one thing, the number one person that I can get information to and change this and make this better? And at that time, I actually thought it was the President of the United States. I believe that if I, as an American citizen, as a voting person who have always done the right thing, always worked, always took care of my kids, I pay my taxes, I do exactly what I'm supposed to do, that if I called out to the President of the United States in earnest, that he would hear me. So I called out to him on CNN.
I'm asking you, sir, as a patriot and as an honorable person, to come and hear our stories and hear the pain that we are in.
I needed to know at that point if my country and what I believed about my country was real, and I got my answer. It's not. It's not. We no longer are a free society. The corporations are the people. And we're under them. I have no voice. That was the lesson. What do you do if no one will hear you? You scream louder and louder and louder, and you stomp your feet, and nobody will still hear you? That's the most helpless feeling in the world. And that's what everybody in this whole situation has felt from the beginning. That's the tragedy of it. It's not just the fact that we lost our culture, we lost our livelihood, we lost endless amounts of wildlife. We lost our voice. In order to secure a future for our next generation, we are going to have to change the fight. Do it like Martin Luther King Jr. did, and understand that the rights of a human for clean air and clean water are equally as important as their civil rights. I will not, under any circumstances, let my baby grow up in a world where greed and money is more important than their life. I will not do it. And I don't care if nobody stands behind me. I don't care what happens. That president, that person, the Congress, I don't care what I have to do. They are going to hear us.
This has been Here Be Monsters. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. because we're here every damn day that there's an Occupy in existence on the planet. Good night, have a wonderful Sunday, and thank all the writers and all the folks from Roundtree 7 and from Wildly Left. And hey, thanks, guys, and Mike Q. Good night.